Around 23 years has passed since the biggest country in the world, the Soviet Union, collapsed and broke apart. It was a nation that for about 70 years was one of the world's superpowers and was very influential in shaping contemporary history. Out of the ashes of what was once a nation ruled by the Tsar emperors, new countries were born. Whole swathes of the Soviet Union gained independence and broke away. With the decimation of the Red Alliance in 1991, things changed a great deal along the Caspian Sea shoreline. Before then, Iran had only one neighbor to share with. Now it had four. Russia, which had taken the Soviet Union's place, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, and Azerbaijan. Up until then, Iran and Russia had agreed to share the Caspian Sea equally, 50-50. But when the Soviet Union was no more, three new countries claimed a share of the waters and their hydrocarbon resources. In the past 23 years, meetings regarding the Caspian Sea have been chaired by ministers, namely foreign ministers and sometimes presidents, but they have not yet managed to come to an agreement. In this episode of Iran Today, we will be discussing the biggest lake on Earth and the issues surrounding it being shared out fairly among its claimants. The Caspian is a lake, but because of its sheer size has always been referred to as a sea. It is 25 meters deep in some places and 1,000 meters deep in others. And it is 28 meters below sea level, thus having no outflow. The Caspian Sea has 575 species of plant, 1,332 species of animal, and 850 species of fish. Its only connection with other waters is the Volga River in Russia, which links it to the Black Sea. It is unique, and that means it has its own unique characteristics and wildlife. Many people make their living from fishing and trade here. To find out more about this, we spoke to Bahram Ahmadiyan, one of the most prominent experts in the Caucasus and Central Asia.
The Caspian Sea is a valuable source of fish, and for hundreds of years, people living near it have been making a living via fishing. Numerous factories produce seafood products, the most important of which is caviar. Caspian states benefit hugely from their share of it. That's the economic side of things. On the other hand, the Caspian Sea attracts a lot of tourists. In the summer, millions in Russia and Iran come to swim and relax on its shores.
Besides fueling the fisheries industry, the Caspian Sea has substantial oil and gas reserves. In fact, it is known as the richest region in hydrocarbon resources after the Persian Gulf and Siberia. Such wealth has made many of the regional nations hungry for a greater share. Hassan Beheshtipour is another of Central Asia's top experts.
The Caspian is the world's biggest lake. That makes it an important geological region. It links Central Asia, which is to the east of the Caspian Sea, to the Caucasus, to the west of it. That's important. It links Iran to Russia and Kazakhstan. It has large deposits of oil and gas. It's estimated that there are between 30 and 200 billion barrels of oil lying under it and 20 trillion square meters of natural gas.
Before Iran was confronted by another three claimants to the Caspian Sea in 1991, it had an agreement with the Soviet Union over the Great Lake, via which both nations could take equal advantage of its waters.
There is a legal regime between the Soviet Union and Iran that came into effect when the Russo-Persian Treaty of Friendship was signed in 1921. It was followed by the Treaty of Commerce in 1940. In it, the Caspian Sea is referred to as belonging to both Iran and the Soviet Union. This means both were allowed equal use of it.
The birth of new countries with new governments with different political and economic systems, all of which were very keen to utilize the Caspian Sea as a source of income, rendered the agreement Iran and the Soviet Union had had up until then meaningless. A new agreement in which the rights and interests of all partners, old and new, were taken into account was needed. There is the UN Convention on the Law of the Seas on an international scale, but Iran says the Caspian Sea is a separate entity. To find out why, we spoke to Mahmoud Shouri, the head of the Eurasia Research Group at the Strategic Research Center of Iran.
دریای خزر دارای رژیم حقوقی بوده پیش از فروپاشی شوروی.
Before the collapse of the Soviet Union, there was a legal system in place for the Caspian Sea. We had the treaties of 1921 and 1940, for instance. We can't say it doesn't have a legal system now, but for a new set of laws and regulations to be put in place, everyone has to agree. Naturally, considering the pre-existing disputes, this issue has served only to fan the flames. In the past 23 years, many meetings have been held on the ministerial level and the presidential level, but they haven't managed to come to an agreement.
What has made it difficult to agree on a new set of laws for the Caspian Sea is the many conflicting opinions and expectations the Caspian states have. None of them seem prepared to compromise either.
There is one Caspian Sea and five different nations with five dreams. They each have different propositions. Kazakhstan is saying the laws of sea should apply to it, and each country should have its jurisdiction, and the rest should be free waters. Any other nation can transit through. That is impossible because the Volga does not have the capacity to facilitate international trade. The Caspian Sea's water is limited. It is not linked to the ocean. It is a closed body of water, a lake. Azerbaijan says each country should have a different share relative to its coastline. Turkmenistan says each country should have its own share and the rest should be transit routes open to all. Russia says the seabed where all the oil and gas lies should be divided up, but everyone should be permitted to move freely on the surface. Iran says it should be divided into five equal shares based on the principles of fairness. So there are five different opinions. The only solution seems to be for them all to compromise a little and find a middle ground everyone is happy with. A joint decision that will secure everyone's interests, that will benefit everyone.
Even though various Caspian states have signed several agreements, because the rest are not on board, they don't have long-lasting effects. Some in Iran believe the agreement signed between Iran and the Soviet Union between the year 1921 and 1940 are still valid. They have a very negative opinion about any concessions on the Iranian government's part and say Iran should be able to exploit 50% of the Caspian Sea.
در سال‌های گذشته در ایران خب بحث‌های متعددی در این زمینه شکل گرفته.
There are various discourses in Iran when it comes to the Caspian Sea. One is that Iran is entitled to 50% of it, and another is that Iran is entitled to 20% of it. None of the discourses have a legal premise. What everyone is going by are the principles of fairness. We say we should get 20% of the Caspian Sea, but that doesn't mean we want it divided into five chunks. We believe that based on Iran's historical claim on the Caspian Sea and the principles of fairness, 20% is the minimum amount Iran should settle for.
Iran says that when it comes to dividing up the Caspian Sea, principles of fairness have to be applied. Iran claims that it was here before any of these countries came into being, and the least that can be done is for Iran to have its half as before, and the other four countries to share the other half between them. The reason why Iran is pushing for this is the fact that countries like Kazakhstan and Azerbaijan say Iran should get only 12%.
الان که هیچ معاهده ای بین ایران و پنج کشور چهار کشور دیگه نیستش
خب میتونم Since no new contract has been signed we can assume the old ones still apply but because there are now four countries claiming a share Kazakhstan Azerbaijan Turkmenistan and Russia we say each of these nations should get 20% and be allowed to exploit 20% of the Caspian Sea's resources Russia is now exploiting 21%, but the others are unable to take full advantage of their share.